Last year, Iowa had a record number of beach closures due to dangerous algae blooms. Also, a lawsuit in the state has brought increased attention to water quality. How do we improve our waterways? It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, along with IPR Statehouse correspondent Joyce Russell, we'll start off the hour devoted to water quality with Iowa's Secretary of Agriculture, Bill Northey. Then we'll hear from lawmakers about plans being considered at the Statehouse to fund initiatives to improve water quality in our state and keep farm runoff out of rivers and streams. Join our conversation. First, this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. On Mondays during the legislative session, we like to follow some legislative action according to themes that we pick out each week, and we have water quality in our sights for this Monday. Joining me, as always, on our legislative Mondays, Joyce Russell, Iowa Public Radio Statehouse correspondent. Hi, Joyce.
Hello, Ben.
Well, water quality has certainly been in our news. Last year, we had a record number of beach closures due to those dangerous blue-green algae blooms. Also, the lawsuit by the Des Moines Water Works bringing increased attention to water quality. Joyce, in just a moment, we'll be talking with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey. But give us a brief overview. Later in the program, we'll be talking with Iowa lawmakers more specifically. But if you can give us a brief overview of what's been happening in the legislature this year regarding water quality.
Well, there are several proposals out there for paying for water quality. The governor got attention for his idea to take a sales tax, which up to now has been committed to infrastructure for schools and property tax relief, and divert some of the growth in that fund to water quality. But there are other less ambitious ideas out there. One would be a checkoff for farmers, the way there's a checkoff for corn and soybean promotion, for example, to have a checkoff for water quality. Another bill would have taken a fee that is assessed on fertilizer. Some of that fee goes to environmentally related things, but some of it just goes into the general fund, and there was a bill that would have corrected that and said it's assessed for that purpose, it should be used for that purpose. There was also a bill to give a property tax break for farmers who use conservation measures.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so with that in mind, I want to reach out to our listeners this hour. How are the algae blooms affecting your life, perhaps your summer recreation? The big question at the center of this is who should pay for the cleanup of the state's waterways? How should they be cleaned up? Likely several different sources of funding, if I'm reading between the lines of what Joyce just said there. We're joined now by Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey, joining us by phone. Secretary Northey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, we can hear you now, Secretary yes. Northey. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ben.
So let's talk a little bit about the Iowa Nutrient Reduction Strategy. This is a plan designed to reduce nutrients from both point and non-point source pollutants in Iowa. And I guess the goal here is to reduce the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico that's created by all the runoff running down the tributaries into the Mississippi. So tell us, what progress has been made since that was drafted in 2008, in your opinion?
Well, there's been certainly a lot of engagement that we've seen across point source and non-point source in rural areas and in urban areas and stepping up. So it really came about 3.5 years ago. The legislature has been increasing the funding to the nutrient reduction strategy over the last 3 years, and certainly some proposals on the table right now to be able to dramatically increase some of that funding going forward. We've seen more acres of cover crops in a statewide initiative we have, as well as 16 different watershed projects that we have out there. We've seen more engagement in urban conservation, looking at permeable paving and rain gardens and other kinds of ways of slowing the water down in our urban areas to have the soil help filter some of those nutrients out. engaging some of our larger municipalities and sewage treatment plants to be able to, over time, find ways to reduce the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus coming out of those plants as well. So I'd say it would be hard to be able to look at numbers and say water numbers have changed, but the engagement that will impact those water numbers, we see absolutely stepping up in a way that I think offers some real hope that this is a good effort that's going to address water quality issues for the longer term and in a way that other states are recognizing too and looking at some of the things we're doing and copying some of those things for their own states.
Up to this point,
Secretary Norde, maybe you should define for us point source and non-point source.
Good question, Joyce. So point source means you can go to a location, you can find the actual cause of those nutrients. So you can go to a sewage treatment plant or a industrial site or a livestock operation and say, okay, here is where those nutrients are coming from. Non-point source would be a ball field or an urban area that can have an impact, but you can't find a particular source. It would be a farm field or multiple farm fields. So even though that water may be concentrated at the end of a storm sewer or at the end of a tile line, it came from an area where lots of small additions in various amounts that are hard to understand which originally had the greatest contribution, those come together to form that non-point source, which means your strategies to address it need to be different.
Mm-hmm. Now, this nutrient reduction strategy has been voluntary up until now. Do you think that in the longer term will do the trick? Have we seen, you talked about the numbers in terms of water quality not changing yet, but there's more engagement. Do you think that will have to change, the voluntary nature?
You know, I think the question comes back to what's the best way to get more done on the ground? And to me, to get more done on the ground is continuing to engage the folks that can make a difference. That's in the urban areas, that's in the rural areas, that's mm-hmm. in our point sources and non-point sources. But especially the non-point is a real challenge to be able to look at what are some of the things that make a difference. So we have some information about what those are. Putting in cover crops will show, on average, about a 30% reduction in the loss of phosphorus and nitrate coming off that farm. Now, some years it's more, some years it's less, some places it's more and less. Certainly depends on the weather as well as the location and whether there's tile underneath there, what the slope of the land is. But it's good enough for us to be able to recommend it for folks. It'd be a real challenge to say we need to regulate this because we don't know what that impact is every year and we don't know how much mm-hmm. it is every year. So the engagement by folks, the improvement that needs to happen, the real life differences between farms and differences between, you know, neighborhoods out there is important to be able to engage rather than regulate, because there are no simple solutions that mm-hmm. say
just
in this box,
right,
and
right,
all things will be okay.
Yeah, but if we say this is urgent, water quality, raising the water quality in our state is urgent, wouldn't a mandatory scheme do a better job than a voluntary scheme? For instance, if we can say, okay, we want to raise the fuel efficiency of cars, we, as we have at a federal level, say cars must be more fuel efficient by this year and by this degree. So why can't we do that with water quality in Iowa? We know that the non-point source pollutants are there. We know it's coming from farmland, from the nutrients that we put on our farm crops.
Well, we know it's coming from lots of places. It's coming from urban areas. It's coming from the nutrients on farmland. It's coming from the organic matter that's in the soil on these farmlands. It's coming from rainfall. So we know it's coming from lots of places, but we also don't know where it's coming from in each case. For cars, we can measure tailpipe emissions. We know how much is coming out of that car, and we know whether that car company succeeded in making the reductions or not. the challenge as you drive up and down the roads in Iowa is to tell me which farm is causing more of the problems than another farm. And with the differences that are all out there, is be able to tell me the results or what needs to be done on each of those farms as a regulatory requirement. That's why, to us, it makes sense to engage the producers, give them those choices of which works best for them. One, it may be splitting their nitrogen application. In another, it may be longer rotations. In another, it may be cover crops. And it's important for producers that have livestock to be able to use cover crops for livestock feed, and in other cases to be able to look at longer rotations because you have a demand for a small grain that fits in and does a nice job of managing your nutrients. So it does make sense to engage and in a way that allow those choices to happen, in part because it would be so hard to regulate the water where you have no way of measuring what's coming off of every field.
Secretary Northey, what happens if the state doesn't meet those goals?
Well, I think we'll continue. You know, I don't know that it's something that is ever done. It's like trying to improve our school system and trying to decrease poverty that we have in the state of Iowa. It will be something that, even if we do reach these goals, these will be things that we'll continue to work on. I think the question of strategy comes back to what's the most effective. Is, you know, there would be some absolutely believe that the most effective would be regulation, and there are those that are making that case. I believe that it's not the most effective. And certainly haven't seen an alternative in other places that has fixed the water issue more effectively with regulation. So I think we'll keep working at reducing the loss of nitrogen and phosphorus from our farm ground. We'll keep looking at urban storm sewers. We'll keep looking at processing plants and our sewage treatment plants, and we'll keep trying to make improvements, because this isn't even just about the Gulf of Mexico, of course. It's about our own water systems here in Iowa. It's about our lakes in Iowa. It's about our streams that are in Iowa. And we will ask more of ourselves whether we achieve these numbers in the short term or the long term.
We have Secretary
Northey, are there federal penalties or any other reason, in other ramifications of not meeting these standards?
You know, right now around the non-point source, there is not. The Clean Water Act does not specifically address non-point source. It looks at our urban sites or our point source sites, our sewage treatment plants, our industrial sites, although typically there have not been a lot of water standards around nitrogen and phosphorus. There's been other concerns that we've had around water quality. So there haven't been, but that could well change, Joyce, over time. I mean, we could see lawsuits that change that. We could see Congress or the legislature change some of those things and create penalties. So there are other ways to get to a regulatory piece, even though those are not there right now.
Mm-hmm. What do you think has been the effect, Secretary Northey, of the Des Moines Water Works lawsuit? We've seen a ramping up in interest here. The governor has put forward a plan for this. The Des Moines Water Works suing three northwestern Iowa counties due to high concentrations of nitrates in the water and the investment that they have to make to remove these nitrates so that they're safe for the Des Moines area water consumers. What has that done to this debate?
You know, as far as engagement, I think it breaks both ways. So we started nutrient reduction strategy before there was a lawsuit, a couple years or 2.5 years before there was a lawsuit. And we saw increasing engagement all the way through. Now, this, of course, gets people's attention, and so it causes some folks to say, okay, we've got to be even more aggressive. In other cases, it has caused folks to say, well, wait a minute, if there's going to be a court that figures this out, then why should we engage right now? Our argument constantly is we need to keep engaging. We need to keep showing that a non-regulatory approach is going to get it done. We need to learn those things about what's the best cover crop and when's the best time to plant that cover crop and how is that different than southern Iowa versus northern Iowa. So we've been very pleased that we've seen continued engagement. I don't think it's because of the Waterworks lawsuit. Sometimes it's in spite of it. Maybe for some people it's because of it. But over the last year since the lawsuit has been filed. So I don't know what the net impact is one way or the other there, but it certainly is something that people are paying attention to.
A few more minutes with Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey talking about water quality on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer along with IPR Statehouse correspondent Joyce Russell. Let's try to entertain a call or an email here before we have to say goodbye to the Secretary at half past. Gene is with us in Ottumwa. Hi, Gene. How do you fit into this conversation? What's your concern?
Well, I did spend my young years on a farm, and I travel for my job the eastern two-thirds of the state, so maybe I look at farmland a little differently than the average traveler does. But I see that over the two-thirds of the state, most of the state has cover crops, they have bumpers. I see lots of good things out there. But when I travel up toward Mason City, I am just shocked at how many fields are absolutely stripped bare. There is no cover crop, no stubble, a lot of erosion in the ditches. In the wintertime, the snow looked black in the ditches. Mm. And I just noticed that it's specifically in that area that I see that. I don't see any bumpers, you know, made. I just wanted to have that observation.
Great question there. A personal observation from Gene in Ottumwa traveling the state. Is it hit and miss, a patchwork of people putting in these bumper strips and cover crops, Secretary Northey? Of course, what she's talking about is Iowa's gold running into the streams and down to the Gulf of Mexico. We can't have that going on.
No, we can't. And we certainly have seen an increased use of conservation tillage or no-till across the state, and some areas have taken that up more than other areas. And it does actually work different in some areas than other areas. Parts of southern Iowa where it gets a little warmer faster in the spring are areas we've seen more cover, more no-till operations and more cover crop adoption. It's been a little tougher in north central Iowa where the soils are very heavy, black. They can stay cold in the spring, but we're seeing more cover crop use. It's at a lower level yet than southern Iowa is, and certainly more no-till as well. Overall, the state of Iowa, about a third of the acres are planted no-till. About a third of the acres are planted conservation till, meaning there's some tillage, but you leave some of last year's residue there as well, so it's not tilled as much. And then a third would be some sort of conventional tillage that would leave less of last year's residue there. So We're seeing some different adoption in different areas. In those areas where we're not seeing adoption as fast, we're certainly having some projects trying to increase the amount of adoption there. But some of the solutions are going to be different in north central Iowa than they are in Washington County or areas in southern.
Right. I wonder if the adoption isn't consistent across the board, and we're seeing this patchwork as described by our caller there. Doesn't that speak to the need for increased funding?
We certainly are very interested in being able to have some more dollars. The legislature has been very helpful in starting this from no dollars 3 years ago to up to $9.6 million now. And then the conversation that I think you'll have in the second half is what can be that next stage? Now that we've seen engagement by producers, we see continued need for more engagement. Where can some more dollars come from to continue to ramp up the adoption, scale this up to a greater level? So, yes, I certainly think that we can and need to do more. We've been very pleased with the adoption or the participation by the legislature and the governor in the past and the conversations that are going on right now.
One of the conversations is this very one we're having with Iowa's Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey on water quality in Iowa. Join our conversation. Also, we'll be talking in the second half hour with lawmakers about the very point that the Secretary just mentioned, possible schemes for getting more funding toward improved water quality in our state. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org is our email. Tweet us at IPR Talk or find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook. Here's an email from one of our listeners, Peter, for the Secretary. Obviously, Peter, very engaged in this issue. listen to this question. Do you believe the county-managed drainage districts are, quote, conducive to the public health as presumed under Iowa code? And he cites Iowa code saying the drainage of surface waters from agricultural lands and all other lands or the protection of such lands from overflow shall be presumed to be a public benefit and conducive to the public health, convenience, and welfare. So Peter wants to know, do you believe that county-managed drainage districts are conducive to public health?
Well, without knowing what the legal description of conducive to public health is, I you know, as a non-lawyer here, I do believe that they are. Like storm sewers in urban areas, it's important to be able to have drainage. And this is something that's been established in Iowa for over 100 years, and being able to have drainage districts, be able to have joint drainage that comes from an area, either of our cities or of our rural areas. Now, I do think that as time goes on, we're going to continue to ask more as well. These are some issues that we were not that concerned about 50 years ago or maybe even 10 years ago, looking at nitrates and phosphorus. And so we continue to find ways. We have some nutrient reduction wetlands out there, 77 of them across Iowa, where we have tile lines go into those wetlands before that water goes into a drainage district. We have five of those where the drainage districts themselves are participating in building those wetlands to improve the water quality coming from their drainage district. So I believe that they'll be part of the solution depending on locations. And again, some are set up to do it. Some don't have the right kind of landscape to be able to put in a wetland. So I think they'll be part of some of the solutions in the future, and we need to continue to look at where we can find places that can improve water quality.
Okay, let's go to a quick call. And Kristen in Des Moines, it will have to be very quick. We've got about a minute left. Can you sum it up quickly, your question or comment?
Sure thing. So my family farms in Cumming, and we know that some of the practices that benefit water quality don't necessarily have a yield benefit, but we also know that we need to do the right thing and take care of our land. So I see that there's a real need for consistent, reliable funding to help incentivize some of these practices so that we can reach the tipping point for farmers to do these practices. So I'm hoping that this year we can fund Iowa's Water and Land Legacy, in which over 60% to go to voluntary strategies outlined in the nutrient reduction strategy.
Okay, thank you very much. A brief comment from you, Bill Northey, about that before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I think consistent funding is a lot of the conversation going right now, and there's some good options out there, and certainly would agree that that's an important next step.
Okay, Kristen, thank you very much for your call from Des Moines. Thank you very much, Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey, for joining us for this half hour. We appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, Ben.
Coming up in our second half hour, we'll talk about lawmakers. We had engagement there mentioned by the Secretary. Joyce Russell and I will be back to talk with two lawmakers, Joe Bochum and Pat Grassley. Water quality, our topic. What's your angle on this? 1-866-780-9100. And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, along with Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent Joyce Russell. And we're exploring water quality and action on water quality at the Iowa legislature. In the first half hour, we had a nice conversation with Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey to talk about the increased engagement, as he sees it, more attention being paid to Iowa's water quality and the need to improve it. We want you to join our conversation. How should the state's water be cleaned up? who should pay for it? We're going to talk about various schemes that are being discussed at, in the legislature this half hour. We'd like to have you join our conversation, perhaps as much as saying that algae blooms are affecting your life during summer recreation. Last year, Iowa had a record number of beach closures due to this dangerous algae, the blooms of blue-green algae. They produce a toxin that can kill animals, humans as well. Also, the lawsuit that the state has in the state, the Des Moines Water Works, bringing increased attention to water quality. Joining Joyce Russell and myself this half hour, we have two lawmakers with us. We have Senator Joe Bolcom, a Democrat from Iowa City, and Republican State Representative Pat Grassley from New Hartford, Iowa. Representative Grassley and Senator Bolcom, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Ben. Thank you for having us.
Senator Bolcom, perhaps you can start us off reading some of your opinions out there. You're not happy with the current practices, the voluntary practices to reduce the nutrients in our state water. What's on your mind, and how do you think this could be improved?
Well, thanks, Ben. Let me just start out by saying I think farming is a really complicated business that's really quite challenging year to year, both economically, the weather, and every farm's different in what a farmer will do. But I would also say it's becoming increasingly industrialized. There's intense market pressure to make a profit. I would add climate change and the extreme rainfall events we have that have increased soil loss and have degraded our ag production. And by many measures, we're really not farming sustainably right now in Iowa. Iowa soils, one of our most important natural resources, is rapidly degrading. And the good news is we know what to do about it. The nutrient reduction strategy lays out a number of ideas about how to get busy and get to work on it. But we need more urgency around implementing some of these practices like cover crops, more no-till farming, more perennial buffer strips. All of these help build our soils, which, again, is a really, really important resource to our state's prosperity. But they also help and prevent and reduce flooding. And, of course, as we talk about water quality today, these practices also reduce water pollution.
Mm-hmm. Do you take issue then with what Secretary Northey just said about, well, it's really not feasible or wouldn't make sense to make it mandatory now, the nutrient reduction strategy, because of the nature of non-point source pollution?
I don't completely agree with Secretary Northey. I think every farm is different, and what you might do on any given farm might be different. But the voluntary approach to the nutrient reduction strategy is only going to work if every farmer and landlord participates in it. And I think one of the challenges that Iowa has is that more than 60% of farms are controlled by landlords, and a lot of those landlords aren't really paying close attention to what management goes on their farms, according to the ISU Iowa Farm and Rural Life Survey. In fact, the 2014 version of that survey found that when farmers were asked about farming practices, those farmers said 56% of the landlords they work with are often unwilling to spend money on conservation. So I think one of the questions going forward about paying for better farming practices is how do we get landlords to take better care of their own property so it doesn't pollute or become degraded.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your proposal before we talk with Representative Grassley.
Well, I think people might be aware of this, but we have something called ag checkoffs, and the checkoffs go into corn and soybeans and cattle and pork, and producers have agreed to basically voluntarily set aside amounts of money based on the production of those commodities, and those checkoffs right now are used for marketing and research of corn and soybeans, etc. And the proposal that I've thrown out there is to say that seems to be a model that's worked, and maybe we ought to have a soil conservation / water quality checkoff that would take some of the $30 billion worth of the value of commodities in 2014 that were produced on farms and basically take a small portion of that value and put it back into maintaining our soils so that we, in 50 years from now, we have really good productive lands.
Mm-hmm. Senator Joe Bolcom, a state senator, Democrat from Iowa City. Pat Grassley with us, a state representative, a Republican from New Hartford, Iowa. Also, of course, that name is very familiar to Iowans, the grandson of Senator Chuck Grassley. And with us, former chair of the Agriculture Committee, Representative Grassley. Now, I believe you sit on the Appropriations and Commerce Committees. Give us your perspective on this as a farmer. For instance, this very point about the voluntary nature of the current nutrient reduction strategy. Do you believe it should be increased, at least aspects of it, made mandatory to become more effective?
As far as the mandatory piece, no, I don't. The reason being, and I think it's something, and I share this story quite often. Again, you touched on that I farm with my dad and my grandfather, and we have a corn and soybean rotation as well as raise some livestock. So I've grown up around this issue of agriculture and water quality my entire life. But I like to tell this story, and I think it shows the ability of farmers when they are given options or they are pushed by seeing what neighbors are doing to take practices and put them into the field. And the story being that going back about 25 years ago in our area and in southern Butler County, there was a guy that he's a soybean salesman, and he bought a no-till drill. And that doesn't, you know, a no-till drill is basically where you would go right into the corn stalks. You eliminate one pass of tillage, which would affect a lot of erosion. It keeps that organic matter there. It's not going to be worked under. It's going to be on top, so you're not going to have the runoff, but you're going to also keep that residue. And he had a drill, and he would loan it out. Not loan it. He would just let other farmers use it. And over the years, more and more farmers have done it. My dad was a perfect example. After that, we bought a drill. Our neighbors bought a drill. Everyone bought a drill. And a perfect example being in southern Butler County, I would say, because of the actions of this one farmer who was willing to experiment on something different, I would say nearly every soybean is planted with no-till. That is something that has been done without forcing any farmers to change the way in which they practice. And I think that's when you look at the nutrient reduction strategy, a lot of what we have done has been focused on new practices. The funds that the state was putting out there for the most part through the nutrient reduction strategy would go to first-time practices for farmers. So, for example, if you hadn't used a cover crop, which Secretary Northey touched on earlier, which is something that we do need to have more of in the state, mm-hmm. Utilization of cover crops. But if you look at the what's been laid out there and for first-time practices, there are more cover crops being planted in the state than there were before this strategy started. And the numbers that get used in this are just the numbers that we're able to keep track of. I know there are more farmers that are not utilizing the strategy but have maybe in the past used it or saw a neighbor that was doing it and then tried something different. I think farmers are willing to do other things, but just like all Iowans and farmers especially, change isn't always easy. But when you're able to see a neighbor that you respect or trust the way they farm, when you see them doing something, it can dramatically change the way in which we farm, which I think at the end of the day, that is how you address water quality in the state, is really changing the minds of how agriculture is done in the state, not by the government saying you will do this, but by making sure that there are other practices available and known in the state that people can take advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Is that in a nutshell how you differ from Senator Bolcom in your approach? You've heard about his proposed checkoff as one remedy to up the financial side of this for water quality.
Well, I think something that Senator Bolcom, myself, House Republicans, Senate Democrats, everyone in the building can agree on, that the governor has brought this issue to a spotlight for all of us to have all of these conversations with the proposal that he had, he came out with earlier in the year. And I think that was a very productive and healthy conversation for us to have, so these other ideas can be out on the table. And is there a silver bullet sitting there right now? I don't know if there is or not, but I know that there are plenty of ideas being thrown around here, more so than that have over the, well, in the 10 years that I've been here. There's more conversation on water quality this year than I've seen in the last 10 years at such a higher level. And I think Governor Branstad throwing out there the plan that he had really sparked this conversation and has put this at the front focus. Obviously, we're here today for a reason. Maybe we would have talked water quality when we had been here, but I think Governor Branstad really brought that to the forefront as an issue we do need to address as a legislature.
Representative Grassley, I know you were not on the Appropriations Committee last year when this happened, but Governor Branstad vetoed $20 million in water quality last year. You were on the Ag Committee last year. You're now chair of the Appropriations Committee. How do you feel about that?
Well, as far as I'm not going to speak for as far as justification on something the governor might have done, but what I will say is I think that he's shown a willingness to bring this issue to the forefront, and the fact that I think that his plan has a lot of pieces that other folks in the building, the mechanism in which maybe not necessarily how it's funded, but what funds it, again, you know, urban, rural, all that being tied into the bill, I think that he's really had this conversation and made it much broader than maybe it would have been in the past.
And one of the ideas out there that I mentioned before, Representative Wills had an idea to take the fee that farmers pay on fertilizer. A certain percentage of that goes to the Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship. Some of that goes for environmental programs. But some of it just goes right into the general fund. And he had an idea out there to take that money and commit it to water quality. His main concern was soil erosion. And he had some very specific ideas about how much soil you could keep out of the water with certain commitment of resources and new employees. And I understand that your concerns from the appropriations point of view helped squelch that.
Well, and I think that wouldn't necessarily be the fact that it isn't part of the larger conversation that's going on. When I had those conversations, you know, that was during the first funnel, when I had those conversations with the Agriculture Committee, I just made it clear that it wasn't a part of the built into the budget at this point, and it still wouldn't be. But I will tell you that all pieces that are being discussed aren't necessarily live rounds, but we are taking a look at several different options when trying to put together some sort of a plan, which is a dedicated funding stream that's an aggressive plan to try to deal with the issue of water quality. So I wouldn't say that at this point in time that's completely off the table, but the way that the funds are being used into the general fund, maybe redirecting them. I know there's some other options out there as well that are similar to the fertilizer tax that we could also take a look at. So I wouldn't say that's the only one out there that maybe could be used on water quality.
State Representative Pat Grassley with us, along with State Senator Joe Bolcom, Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent Joyce Russell with us as we look at one of the issues before the Iowa legislature that's being discussed in a variety of ways, water quality. How can we improve Iowa's water quality? And now that it's taken more of a forefront profile here in the state, in our news as well. If you've noticed, perhaps a lake near you has been closed to recreation, for example, because of dangerous algae blooms. We'll hopefully get to some callers a little bit later in the hour, but we want to also introduce our next guest, Ralph Rosenberg, Executive Director of the Iowa Environmental Council, joining our group. Ralph Rosenberg, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Well, you've been listening to few of the proposals that our lawmakers have been discussing, also conversation with the Secretary of Agriculture, Bill Northey. What message do you want to deliver about water quality here and the proposals that are being talked about to improve it?
Well, the proposals have to have a substantial long-term commitment in funding, and one of the things that the council and many Iowans support is the Iowa Natural Resource and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund. It is the mechanism where you're going to be able to generate the amount of money to really have an impact. You're going to be able to generate about $150 to $180 million a year. And without putting words into Secretary Northey's mouth, the Secretary Northey recognized, as others do, that you do need to have sustainable money because the problem is going to take many different years. And I think that really building upon what the representative and senator talked about is how do you convert a voluntary program to urgency? And there's a couple ways to do it. One is to have this significant statewide sustainable program. The other way to do that is to make it an accountable program. One of the things that we certainly hope the appropriations committees make sure that not only do we need to have a trust fund for both drinking water as well as outdoor recreation, but we also need to have a program to make sure the money is well spent. I mean, we have half of our rivers, lakes, and streams fail to meet water quality standards. We have less than 10% of the wetlands remain. We're losing millions of habitat acres, and we're losing 5 tons per acre. So the urgency of that has to be recognized in a couple different ways. And one is to support this Recreation Trust Fund, which puts substantial amount of money. And, you know, Representative Grassley's right. I mean, Governor Brand said put a figure, I think it was about $4 billion, Representative. So that the idea is it's not $4 million over 30 years. It's something that size. I know many groups have concerns about the source of money, but that's the kind of funds if we're going to deal with both the drinking water and the recreation waters. And if it's going to be voluntary, we need to have report cards on it.
Ralph Rosenberg, why isn't there money in the trust fund to do this right now? How do you see that? What is the hurdle that's not being breached?
Well, from our polling, we've seen is that the number of voters want to see this, and I've certainly let Representative Grassley and Senator Boken provide that. I'm not 100% sure why. I think Iowans perhaps need to speak out more about this. I think sometimes Iowans in 2010 felt that when they passed the constitutional amendment, that's all they had to do. I mean, I don't think they were misled.
Right,
but
that hinges on what? Explain that briefly. The funding hinges on what? You have to fund it, right?
You
need to fund it.
Right, you need to increase the first 3/8 cents of the next sales tax can go to it. And there's different modifications, and there's ideas of raising the sales tax 1/8 cent per year. And there's been proposals in Senator Bolcom's committee, and there's been proposals in Representative Sand's committee on the House side. And we hope those continue. I think the public needs to say, we don't want just a $4 million proposal on 1 or 2 years. We want to have substantial, sustainable commitment of money for both drinking water. Remember this, what we call the Iowa Trust Fund, about 60% deals with water quality. It's going to deal with the rural areas as well. And the rest that's going to deal with recreation and outdoor. Mm-hmm. And the public perhaps needs to speak louder as well and saying, yes, we're willing to have this money directed and it guaranteed because everyone knows what the formulas are. But I'll let Representative Grassley and Senator
Let's just get a brief comment. Yeah, our hour is coming to the end, but we also have some callers who want to have a brief input here. But Pat Grassley, would you be in favor of getting money to this Natural Resource Trust Fund?
At this point, I would not be in favor of raising the sales tax that'd be required to fund that. We have $7.3 billion at the state level. And I feel like that's enough money for us to fund water quality if it is a priority of the legislature, which it looks like it is going to be. And I think a lot of the proposals that will come from the legislature as this issue continues to move forward will make significant investments. I think Ralph is right that we can't just put out a bill that says we'll spend $4 million and that somehow addresses the problem. It does need to be a significant investment. So I do agree with that. But I think that we have the ability to make that work inside of the budget if it's going to be a priority.
Okay, let's go to Joe in Boone as our hour comes to an end. Joe in Boone, what's your take on our water quality discussion today?
Well, it's a huge tax on all of us. You know, like Boone is like hundreds of other communities in Iowa that we've got a multi-million-dollar infrastructure problem to remove the growing amount of nitrates in our water. And I'm wondering who Senator Grassley thinks ought to pay for that.
Okay,
well, currently in the I assume you're talking about for the city's infrastructure. I would assume that's what you'd be talking about. But currently in the governor's proposal, he would take some of the funds, and I think that needs to be a part of the broader conversation because this isn't just a rural issue. This is an issue for both urban and rural Iowa. But taking some of those funds and having communities have access to those to be able to upgrade and update their infrastructure, and I agree with that. Whatever we do as far as part of a proposal, I think that needs to be a part of the conversation.
Kate tweets our conversation. Kate, listening, let me direct this also to you, Representative Grassley. Kate pointing out to ask you if other industries in Iowa have the option to voluntarily not pollute waterways. Traditional industries would be a point source of pollution, are prevented from that sort of pollution. Why not agriculture, Pat Grassley? Why shouldn't it be mandatory?
Well, I think that if you look at other industries, again, most of those would be a point source, and you're able to – this is something the Secretary touched on – be able to identify those point source areas. The problem being is – and Secretary Utrecht touched on this, so I hate to repeat what he was saying – but the fact that it is very hard to identify if this farm is the one that is – the one that has a significant amount of runoff, or has the one that's contributing to the nitrate problem, or if it's the other one. And it also comes in the fact that across the state, and this is something that was touched on earlier, is the fact that some parts of the state may have more or less cover crops. Well, every part of the state is completely different. So saying everyone will do X, Y, and Z may work in southwest Iowa, but in northeastern Iowa, they face some completely different challenges.
Okay.
So making that mandatory may not is not the answer.
Okay, we have less than a minute. Joe Bolcom wants to get in there before we end the hour.
Thanks. This is a big old problem, and it's only going to be solved with new money. It's not possible to take money away from the schools or our healthcare system. We need to find a new source of funding, and I think we need to think about having a fair way to pay for it. And it's probably going to be some folks in the cities and towns that help pay for it, and it's going to have to be private landowners that own all this property helping to pay for it. The elephant in the room, I think, continues to be that more than 60% of the ground is rented and has a landlord. And I think we need maybe different solutions for getting the attention of those landlords so that the farmers that do farm that land have the ability to invest in conservation on that ground.
Do you think that would be politically easier if we went after those landlords instead of going after our landowners?
I think we can all drive around our towns we live in and figure out which houses are rented and which are owner-occupied. You can do the same thing in the countryside. And I just think we need to recognize the economic model we have as we design solutions.
Okay, thank you very much, State Senator Joe Bolcom, along with Representative Pat Grassley. Thank you for coming in and joining us at the State House Law Library. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Also, thanks to Ralph Rosenberg, Executive Director of the Iowa Environmental Council, and, of course, my co-host this hour, Joyce Russell, IPR State House Correspondent. Nice doing the Mondays with you, Joyce. We'll talk again next Monday. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Claire Roth, and Lindsay Moon. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.